The reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading from verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 1188 of the Church Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light, and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but didn't take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came also. "Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing to say the creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you, Hamish.
Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you will speak to us from your word through your Holy Spirit this morning. Help us to listen and to put it into practice during the coming week. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The second coming of Christ is a subject which most of us steer clear of. It's too difficult, too disturbing, too challenging, perhaps. We just can't fit it into our understanding of the Christian life today. So we just put it on the back burner. But it is a recurrent theme in the Bible that just won't go away. In the Old Testament, some of the later chapters of Daniel point forward in prophecy to the last days. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus speaks clearly and openly on the subject, just like the chapter that Elizabeth read from Matthew 25, of the parable of the virgins. And Paul speaks about it in several of his letters, particularly the letters to the Thessalonians. Finally, of course, the book of Revelation gives many pretty incomprehensible visions of Jesus coming, what's going to happen in the end times. So I've just got a few points to make about the second coming. I think I've got about 5 points, just to be one better than Simon from last week, who had four. And these points come from Thessalonians and Matthew, from the two passages that we heard earlier. The first point is that the second coming of Christ will happen. The Bible doesn't say it might happen. It says clearly that it will happen, and it is the natural end of all things. The establishment of God's kingdom on earth. That's where it's all going. And secondly, the second coming of Christ will happen when we least expect it. Of course, Christ didn't come, as many thought, including the Thessalonians, during the early days of the church. Paul particularly wrote that letter to the church at Thessalonica because they were spending too much time on thinking about the second coming. And many times down the centuries, people have predicted a definite date for Jesus' return. And these dates have come and they've gone. But it could be at any time. I had a Sunday school teacher back in the 1950s, which was at the height of the Cold War. And he kept saying that the events that were taking place at that time were definite evidence of the last days. And he was certain that the end was very, very near. It used to rather frighten me as a child. Jesus, he said, was on the way. And of course, today, with international terrorism, proliferating nuclear weapons, global warming, all these natural disasters that seem to be increasing in number. Today, many say the end is in sight and Jesus can't be long delayed. But Jesus himself said that the final date would be a surprise even to him. He didn't know the day nor the hour. Just at a time when you think he's not coming, that's just the time he'll come. the foolish virgins in the parable in Matthew felt it was unlikely that the bridegroom would come until later, and so they were caught unawares. So the second coming of Christ will happen. It will come when we least expect it. And then the second coming of Christ will be a serious business for everyone. If we have faith in the Lord Jesus, we have nothing to fear. For us, it will be a great day. Our Lord will be seen as he really is, King of kings and Lord of lords. Our suffering and our human limitations will end. There will be people from every tribe and tongue and nation, from all ages. But for the foolish virgins, the door was shut. And in many passages, we are told of the seriousness of being shut out. And then Jesus will be at the center of things when it does happen. It will be all about Jesus. He's at the center. He will come and take his place on the throne and receive all the worship and glory due to his name. I've got a favorite painting called The Ghent Altarpiece by Van Eyck, which is a magnificent scene, also called The Adoration of the Lamb, which shows the scene after the second coming. I have it as a screensaver on my computer. Jesus and Paul both say that we should watch and be ready. We don't need to know when. Like the Thessalonians, we shouldn't be always staring up in the sky, analyzing every word in Revelation for a clue to the date. All we're simply called on to do is to be ready. Not to stop and wait, but rather to get on with working for the Lord, to keep on praying and serving and worshiping. It could be soon, it could be very soon, but it could be delayed. The wise virgins in the parable kept ready by having a supply of oil in their lamps and were watchful for the bridegroom coming. I wonder if we are ready, not sitting around and looking up, but always in a right relationship with God, feeding on him, active in his service, living in the light. And Paul said that we should use this to encourage one another and build each other up. That message of the second coming is for an encouragement, and it should build us up. Life is like running a race. It's not a short sprint, but a long distance race. We all have to run for a spell, and we don't know for how long. And the final end of the race is not known. But Jesus says that we have to keep on running and running, always being ready for the moment when we will be called in, our personal race over, or for when the whole race will suddenly be ended for everyone who is still running. Revelation says that the end will be signaled by a trumpet call. I wonder if we'll be ready when the trumpet sounds. Or perhaps to bring that picture up to date, for those who are, like me, fans of the TV series Gladiators, will we be ready at God's first whistle? Amen.
Thank you, Hamish. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.